slow and she used to
poke him. Terrible, isn't it?
My big Tomsey Thompson. My Slouden poked him with a poker and he weighed his trousers. He wanted it to the toilet and she wouldn't let him go.
Oh, but a boy in my class did worse than that, and it fell down the leg and onto
it. I mean,
and the Janny to come, and she shunted us all out.
Remember the sisters?
Oh, aye. Uh-huh.
Well, I had...
Because I had the one with the great
thing. Right, well, I had my... You know the gym teacher, the other one?
No.
She was the first punk rocker. She came to school on my motorbike, Joy. Now, we're talking years ago.
This
is
a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Teacher, Miss... Well, her sister was the gym teacher, but the one I had...
I had her
for a year, you know how. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she'd hems in her skips. They were about 8 inches in her skirt.
She wore a leather coat.
She came to the school on a motorbike with the full leathers on. And you know the pilot's helmets?
For the First World War.
Like that, with the goggles on. And the great big gauntlets. And she came in.
But I'll tell you something
so
else.
So she did.
Do you know her father and her brother were headmasters at school, and that's where she was brought up. And that's right. Her father and her brother. Her father was the headmaster first, and then her brother followed on, and he was the headmaster at and that's where she was brought up in the schoolhouse.
No, she came to the school in the motorbike.
I know that. Well, it would be a long walk for to Russell Street School.
She could have got a bus. She came in her motorbike, I'll never forget.
I know
her.
That, and it was
never.
A great big motorbike, you know.
What her ages would she
teach? She
taught
us seven.
When you went up at seven to eight.
Uh-huh. Because you went to the primary from you were five to you were seven.
You
and
were
then you went
that.
Up.
You
no,
know,
no, no,
school?
Five to you were seven, and then you were up to the big school. Uh-huh. And you were there between seven and eight, uh-huh, till you were 14. Mm-hmm. But at 12, you get a chance to go and sit the exams to go to the academy.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the qualifying then, mm-hmm, and you get a chance to sit that. And I went and sat at the grammar school, mm-hmm, and I passed. And then my mother says, you can't go because I haven't got enough money for your uniform and books and everything, so I never get going. But you got a chance when you were 12 to go to the academy, which was a lot of, it was kind of fee-paying, more or less fee-paying.
Uh-huh.
When you went, it was different when we were there, Eleanor, because you had you'd all your books
did
to
you?
Buy. Uh-huh. And,
mm-hmm. I never ever remember, because I never get a chance to go.
When we were doing the flitting, we came across her one and only prize that she ever got.
I've got two prizes now.
Haven't?
I have, so. I've got a book from the
Sunday
school.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a
certificate of merit.
A certificate of merit from St. Joseph's Academy for being the best, what did it say? It's here. I've got a certificate from the school and I'm going to frame it. See that, John? I've got a gold merit certificate in catering from the teachers at the school. Even the headmistress, Bridget Rooney, signed it.
That's superb. I mean, that's even better than a Scotland.
I'm telling you. I'm going to frame that. I mean, it's my one and only, John.
When did they give that to you?
They gave me when I left there in June.
Oh, that's nice.
And a big bouquet of flowers and £75.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you not like about the school, Mary?
I just hated it.
When she was young?
Yeah.
Oh, she's great to get. And when she got, she used to be
hated
sick every
school.
Morning.
I hated it.
She hated it. But that teacher wasn't good to you. She wasn't good to you, was she?
Who?
That teacher you had in the junior school.
Miss
Aye.
She petrified me.
I know.
She used to poke me with, well, not me, but she poked the boys with the poke, yeah, big point.
Aye, but they used to leather me for being left-handed and made me sit in my hand and help me with a ruler and made, you know, to make me write with my right hand. And then I got into trouble for writing below the lines.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't realise I couldn't see the lines until they tested your eyes then at seven,
uh-huh,
when you were supposed to be able to read.
Uh-huh.
because before that you couldn't read this, you know, ABCs to get your eyes tested, and then I wore glasses for then. But I was always getting leathered for writing below the
lines.
They
wouldn't let you write with your left hand at school.
No.
They would not allow it if you were left handed. I mean, it's so stupid when you think about it now. See, when I was meeting the teachers' day, I mean, it's amazing the teachers that were left-handed. But I mean, it's silly, isn't it? When you think about it now, they wouldn't allow you to write with your left hand if you were left-handed.
What was the difference between the big school and the junior school?
Well, then it was like moving now. You had a different teacher for each subject, whereas you had the same teacher for the whole year.
You know, but for the first 2 years you went to school, you had the same teacher. I had a Miss Arbuckle, and I remember she was getting married, and I thought, what's an old woman like her getting married for? But she must have been maybe 23 or 24. Yeah. But to me, between 5 and 7, she was an old woman, you know. And then you went up to the big school, and you started getting different teachers for arithmetic and different things like that. And I remember I was off a year, off the school a full year, with being in hospital. I had scarlet fever and one thing and another. And I was 5 months in the hospital with scarlet fever. And then I sprained my ankle, and then I took something else, and I was off a full year. And I went up back to the school, and the headmaster said, we'll just put her in her own class. She'll know belong. She'll catch up. And I get this Miss and the first day there, spelling was never my strong point, and she gave me the belt right up to there for having four spellings wrong. And my mother went up and gave her, what for, you know? I get the belt every day that I was in her class. Every day she took it out of me, that woman. And then you got another teacher for you. Then you went to cookery. Now they had a cookery. When you went
to
cookery,
no,
you went. We had a cookery class, a cookery bit under the clinic. Remember?
Oh right, we went for laundry to Ayr Academy.
You went to the first time you went for laundry. You went to Catholic school.
You had a class in laundry. You had to take articles for the house and
a hanky, a ladies and a gents hanky.
Yes.
A ladies and a gents hanky, and that was a whole lesson. And you had the boiling, the bleaching,
the bluing. The bluing and the bleaching.
So you had to do this with these two hankies. And then they went up in the pulley, in the classroom, all these pulleys, you know, for drying the clothes. So it lay up there for a week. The next week you were taught how to iron it and fold it. The big ones that heated on the hob, you know, a flat iron.
How many people
were
in the class,
Ivan? About 20 odds. And then you went for cookery, and you worked in pairs, and you went for sewing, but you got that in your own school. But for cookery, we had a cookery room, and the tiny wee pots, but you worked in pairs. And my name was Helen. And the one I had to work with was Lizzie Hill. And you could have stuck her to the wall. She was clarty. And I wouldn't let her touch anything that we were waiting, because if she touched it, I couldn't eat it.
Never mind, I couldn't eat twos.
I need to cook. No. You worked with
pears. Because I had lovely spongy scones. I was adopting the class. Mary Helen, she makes lovely spongy scones. And I was only one in the class at the exam, and she said, ask the question, what is the staff of life? Bread.
That's because we went to Sunday school.
That's because my mother taught us that. Eat that up, that's the staff of life. I made the best scones in the class.
Yes. So you made soup with margarine.
Aye.
And you got all these things.
But when you made something special, like you made soup or apple tart or something, you thought, I'll take that home and show my mother it. And you started walking the mile home, and you had a wee bit to taste it. Then you took another wee bit to taste it. And when you got home, you'd maybe crumbs left. You never let them see you, remember that? You used to eat dinner. But I mean, you got
to supply the ingredients?
No, the school did.
The school did, but you
nowadays, they have to supply their own ingredients.
You know, say you were making an apple tart, well, you took an apple and you paid maybe threepence or something. And that was for to order the other ingredients, you know, or a penny or what, a top.
But nowadays they take the ingredients themselves.
Oh, aye.
You see, I never had that problem.
But it was good, really. I feel that we were taught better, you know, like arithmetic. Like mental arithmetic, you get that every single day. You get mental arithmetic, and she would go around the class, you know, and just picking somebody.
So did I, Ellen.
And you get mental arithmetic, and your spelling and everything, and your grammar, I think, was taught a lot better then, and it was hammered into you, John, really hammered into you. And you never, even yet, I mean, I hear men on the television, announcers and broadcasting and that, and they'll say sore instead of saw, you know, and that grates in me because that was not the way we were taught.
That's dialect.
No, but I mean, they add an ER onto saw, you know, but then again, John used to, he had a different way of speaking that I had, and some things he used to say, you know, and I would say, you have seen, you didn't saw her. He'd say, I saw her, so-and-so. And I'd say, no, you have seen, you know. And these wee things all stuck in your mind. But nowadays, you get into a shop, nowadays, you buy two items, and they can't add it up. They need a calculator, I've got to add it up.
It's just moving with the times, John. That's all it is. I mean, it's not that...
But you see, we had to add up in our head. We were taught that way, and it was a lot quicker and better, I felt, anyway.
So did you go from school straight into work?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I left the school in June, and I wasn't 14 till the 20th of August, and I was working before my birthday.
Well, you didn't get any holiday before?
Oh, no, you never get a holiday.
I was working before my 14th birthday in Ale Scott's, the shoe shop in here, and I'd already done 2 years in the dairy before that. I delivered milk in the morning, and then I served in the dairy shop at night when I came out of school.
I
went out with the horse and cart and delivered milk. And it wasn't the milk bottles. It was the...
It wasn't cartons, it was milk bottles.
No, it wasn't. It was they used to give you their jug, and you'd the big 10-gallon milk cans, and you'd a scoop pint and 2.5 pint, and you filled their jug in the morning. Before I went to school, I used to start at 6 in the morning, and I'd come home, and at the weekend, I worked either washing the hard bottles in the dairy, washing the bottles, which was in great big tubs with two revolving brushes and a brush in the centre, and you held the two milk bottles on it, and they revolved. They were dipped and then put into the cases, taken through to the creamery. You threw 10-gallon cans of milk into the machine, and then you filled all the bottles and stoppered them for delivering the next day in the cool room.
They were stoppered,
physically.
Physically. And then I scrubbed out the dairy floor, the shop part, and that was me finished. And I think I get £2 a week for that.
Now, how did you find the job in the shoe shop?
It wasn't a case of it. I mean, you only went to the labour exchange, it was called then, and of course there was a job there. I hated the shoe shop. And I went for there to work in a hosiery.
Your mother told you
who
you should call.
Aye. Now, your parents said, oh, that I think not. Aye. And I went from there, and I worked in a hosiery. And then my
Tell
health
you had
so
for your
bad.
Piece. Aye, because of your carried piece.
My health got so bad that I went back to the labour exchange, and I went to be a spinner in the carpet factory, Grace Carpet Factory, and the Mr. Logan, remember him? He interviewed me and he said I had good appearance. I thought I should go into the office. And I was in the office till for over 13 years in the sales department.
What kind of things did you do then?
Sorry?
What kind of things did you do in the office?
Well, you did all the ordering and the sending out all the carpets and you booked in everything that was made in the factory into big ledgers. And then you had your, you had to write out the customers' orders and it was longhand. It wasn't, there was any machines or anything, it was all done in longhand. And it's, you used to get different coloured papers up from the factory, they came up from the factory to tell you what had been produced and you entered these into ledgers and then you knew what your stock was and that's...
Well, when I left the school, started in Kate Fisher's. I wanted to stay on and take my lower leaving certificate, but that meant I had to stay on at school till I was 15. So my mother needed the money, I had to leave the school. And I left to go and work for £1 a week. And in a shop, and I was supposed to be learning window dressing. But the woman that was teaching me left to open another shop after 9 months. And she wanted me to go there, you know, to work. And I would have been better, John, if I had gone. But at that time, you were influenced by the rest of the folk, you know. And I stayed on there, and then I went and took shorthand and typing.
She was just a shop assistant.
Aye.
Which I wasn't allowed to go for because my mother couldn't afford to send
it. It was 8 shillings a week for my shorthand and typing lessons. And then I left there and when I was 16 and I went to work in Gray's office in the wages office.
No, the stamp work.
The stamp work, sorry. I went to work in the stamp work office, sorry. In the wages office and learnt the comptometer. You worked a comptometer there, making out the wages. And then I was transferred from the wages office down to the planning office. In the planning office, all the steel that came in, it was just more or less the same as Mary. Everything that came in and was made and went out, went through this planning office and with huge big boards on the wall. And every hammer had a number, and the stamp works had a number. And you got all the steel come in, and my job was to work out how many forgings you would get out this amount of steel. And you used a slide rule to work that out. And you put that on to these ledgers again, and the steel had to go and get passed at the lab. And then you put it up on the board, and as the forgings, you'd get notes of how many forgings had been made, and you moved along, and you knew what every hammer had to do.
Like a production.
But I wasn't getting shorthand and typing there, and I felt it was wasted. So I went for there to work in Grant's office, the furniture store, where I get shorthand and typing. And I was still there when I got married at 19.
So when you were working, were you working 5 days a week?
Was it? No, you might have been in the factory, but you worked...
No, in a shop, you get a half day off on a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday, and you worked right through to Saturday night.
And you had a Sunday off.
You had a Sunday, that was all.
But when I worked in the stamping works, you worked Monday to Friday.
And it was, when I started in Grace, John, I started, for all I was in an office, I started at 7:25 in the morning, till 5:25 at night. That was my office hours, because remember the horn used to blow at 7:25 in the morning.
10 minutes, you didn't start at 7:30, because starting at 7:25 and finishing at 7:25 to make up your 10 minutes break.
During the day.
You know, you had a 10 minute, but you started 5 minutes early and finished 5 minutes.
But I mean, that was long hours for an office. And when you worked in the shop, you were there from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
What did you do in the evenings, did you have?
Well, depending how much money you had, you got 2 and 6 pocket money a week, John.
You were lucky, I get a shilling.
Oh, but you're ancient. you get 2 and 6 pence a week pocket money. Now, you had to buy your own, it was the tight stockings off of that, toothpaste, things like that. you maybe get a night at the pictures or the dancing.
If you broke into your brother's wee mud hut for them.
And I used to do a bit of borrowing and pay back.
That was for the missionaries. And she took the bottom off it and took the money out.
Yeah, I mean, that had to last you a week, John.
Mm-hmm.
That had to last you a full week.
Well, you didn't go out, you only went to the pictures.
You only went to pictures.
You sat in and knitted and listened to the radio.
And listened to the wireless.
Quite often you'd things to do in the house when you come in, you know, my mother would.
And I mean, and you had your housework to do.
Oh, aye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you had your housework to do.
What are you doing
on
Sunday?
Maybe ironing and that.
And on Sunday you went
a lot.
Dressed up, and if it was a nice day, you walked along the shore out here.
Mm-hmm.
And at night.
With your hat on.
Cover them up, John. And at night, you had your hat on.
And near in the cupboard.
It's a cupboard in here. And at and then at night, you went and you walked down the high street.
That's it.
You walked down.
No, that was a no-no.
Up and
that's
down.
It. That's it.
That was a no-no.
Up and down the high street, and you went and had a coffee, and that was Sunday. You'd be home by 9 o'clock.
Because you'd hear what the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You had to be home by 9 o'clock on a Sunday, and that's how you spent a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
In the winter time,
you might get a click, you don't know.
In the winter time, you maybe never went out. If it's a miserable day, you never went out to maybe night time. Mm-hmm. Had to walk along the high street and went to Green's picture house up there. Remember the cafe up there? And you had a coffee, and that was it. Exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Living on the edge.
You went to Greens?
I went to Greens. Aye, we went to Greens.
That's all that went there.
It was nothing at the kind.
It was so,
oh, no.
But
when I was young.
Oh, it was posh, but that was it, John. That was, and
oh,
we
aye,
were
yeah.
Working all these things.
But John, see nowadays, like, the kids don't go out to play the way we went out to play. And every season had a different thing, you know? Like, you played skipping ropes at the same time every year. And you played peavers.
Mm.
Hopscotch they call it now, but we called it peavers. And
No,
you had a piece of marble, round marble.
You used to go to the man that made the headstones for the cemetery, and he had wee offcuts, and he used to make peavers.
A wee round bit of marble.
And you... through, you know, you drew what we called beds, was, you know, on the pavement,
yeah,
with chalk, and we used to get a block of pipe clay,
mm-hmm,
that the women put on their steps,
mm-hmm,
to whiten them, and you drew your beds, and then you played with your
pavers,
and if you didn't have enough money to go and buy that, you got an old shoe polish tin and filled it full of dirt to weigh it down, and you used that.
But then beds weren't they like the play hopscotch now. We
no.
drew six like that,
uh-huh,
and it was numbered 1 to 6, and that's,
you know,
how we played. We
and you
don't,
hopped, and
we
you
didn't
had...
play with that hopping, yeah, and then jumping. And
you decorated it.
Aye.
And then we played marbles.
Mm-hmm.
You played marbles.
Bulls.
And then you played ball against the wall, sometimes with two.
Sometimes with elastic through it, you know.
And
what were the fast skipping ropes?
The fast ones?
Tenors.
Tenors,
oh,
aye.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Well, you,
mm-hmm,
and
you
sometimes
cod hard.
You played with double skipping ropes.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm
could, you played
you
with two.
Between the ropes.
Aye.
Mm-hmm.
And only when you stopped the rope, you had to start and cod the rope.
Do you remember any of the rhymes you sang?
Yeah.
The ropes?
Aye.
A house to light.
A fire within,
within, a
lady,
lady
put out,
was caught for drinking gin. Drinking
gin is
a
very
bad
thing. So out goes
Mary
and Margaret
comes
in. And then, what was the other name?
And then out goes
Dusty
Bluebells. Was that another
uh-huh
one?
And then out goes Dusty Bluebells. And there was, but there was other, quite a few others.
Do you remember the ball one?
1, 2, 3,
Leary. 4, 5,
Wallace Beery sitting on
his
bumble
eerie, eating jelly babies.
Or Kissing Shirley Temple, we used to sing. And
eating jelly babies.
Oh, another skipping was,
There she goes.
Beery heels and pointed toes.
Look
at
her
feet, she
looks,
thinks
she's
neat.
Black stockings
and
dirty
feet.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah.
And then at night, the late nights, you know, in the summertime, we used to play kick the can and Alevo.
I played rounders.
And you played rounders, kick the can. Alevo was, there was a crowd, you know, you had two teams, and one team, the other team went in, like a den, you know, they drew a den. And somebody for the other team had to run through and shout Alevo, and everybody ran out. And the other team, it was their turn to go in, and they would run, some of theirs would run through. And then we played statues. And that was, there would be a line of people, right? And one buddy would stand with her back to the line, and they would start walking towards them. And when they turned round quick, you'd to stop. But if you were caught moving, you were out, you know? And that was statues. And then we used to play what else did we play? Kick the can. Levo.
No, I never played kick the can, never. Or Levo. Never even heard of it.
Oh, I played round these things.
And roller skating. And on I learned to ride a bicycle in Robin Hutchison's Fairy Cycle. And my knees, and I was away down McLean Street and up Maggie Street, like the clampers, with this wee fairy cycle bicycle. And then I got my own bicycle, which cost me, and I saved up my pocket money, £4. It was an ex-ATS bike, and it was a fantastic bike. It was like the old-fashioned nurse's bikes now, you know, that went round like that. And it was a great bicycle, and I used it for years. And I used to cycle. Remember, I went for air with the swimming club, and I went away down to the Croy Shore. We cycled to the Croy Shore and back. But it was a great, and it didn't have any gears on it.
No.
Didn't have gears. It was a, and then I went a step up and bought myself a new green rally bicycle. That was class. That was class.
But I went away with that bike of yours without the
and
gears.
And broke it.
And went cycle to Kilwinning.
And never told me, John, I was going down a hill.
Cycle to Kilwinning, John.
I went down a hill and she'd broken it and the front wheel snapped. And I had to go to my work in the bar. What did you call them that used to live next door to us? Her had the bendy bottle at New Year. The bendy
Wilson.
Was it Wilson or Gibson?
Cairns.
His father had to dump it in at somebody's house, and he took me to graze in the bar of his bicycle that morning, so as I'd been time for my work.
Because you were quartered.
I know.
You were late.
They took 15 minutes off your pay.
If the door shut when the horn went, you see, after the horn went, you were
quartered. And seeing that first job I had, John, at EL Scots, my pay was 17 and 6 a week, and threepence off that went to your stamp.
Mm-hmm.
So you come out with 17 and threepence for working all those hours. Yeah.
85p.
Aye.
Uh-huh. Is that how much it is now, 85p?
Or 17.
Mm-hmm.
Aye. And you were the dog's body.
I used to have to go down on my hands and knees and scrub that shop floor.
So did I.
And I washed these double shop windows every morning and cleaned all round about where it was sort of like marbly stuff underneath the window. That had to be washed every day.
That's right, I did the same.
No rain or snow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you scrubbed inside the shop floor or down your hands and knees.
Down your hands and knees.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Down in your hands and he's scrubbing a great big shop.
So you never went home for lunch?
I used to go home when I worked, but when I worked in the hosiery, I had a small case. And I took 8 slices of plain bread with could have been cheese or cold meat. And then I would have maybe a couple of biscuits. Then the baker came to the hosiery. I would maybe buy a pie and maybe a round scone and a cake. And that's all I had to feed me all day, John.
So
but this wee case that for my sandwiches, for my piece, this tiny wee case, and me, that chap used to say, when she jumps in the bus with that case, the front wheels go up in the air.
That's when you said to my mother you'd have to leave that job because the carried pieces weren't agreeing with you.
No, I wasn't well enough. That's what was wrong. But as I say,
but when you think about it, John, it was a hard life then. I mean, even for my mother. Because, I mean, they didn't have a lot of money. And they didn't have fridges. And they couldn't go and buy their food for 1 week to the next. To buy fresh every day.
But look how many our young life was during the war. I mean, the war started when I was 7.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right, I was 8.
And it went right through until...
We were about 15. I was about 15, I think.
How long did the war last? 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd be 14, I'd be 13. Mm. And I mean, you must remember...
But we never starved,
John,
during the war. Didn't
we
starve?
We never had seen a banana. And we could not hardly remember what a banana... Well, we knew what it looked like, but we didn't know what it tasted like. And I remember my mother, she heard they were selling red apples. You were only allowed so many each. And it was a fruit shop in the main street, McCulloch's, I think it's still there to this day. And she went, she stood for an hour and a half, and she got 4 red apples, Canadian red apples, and she brought them to the school to us. And we didn't know whether to eat them or just keep them. I mean, we hadn't even seen a red apple. And I always remember her bringing them to the playground when we were out at playtime. This, and she'd stood in a queue all that time to get us an apple. And then, of course, your sweets were rationed. You only got...
And clothing coupons.
Ah, but that wasn't
bread
so bad.
Coupons.
I mean, necessities for us, we as kids.
With sweets. But you get coupons for bread as well, and butcher meat.
Mm. But,
that lasted quite a long while.
Mm-hmm, it did, John.
Oh, the rationing lasted, what is it, not about 3 or 4 years after the
be
war.
BUs, that's what they were called, the coupons were called.
The rabbit.
BUs for
at
bread.
The butchers.
BUs.
For a rabbit for 3 shillings.
Mm-hmm. But I used to get up in the morning before I went to school, and I used to, you couldn't go on the bus because it was workers only. And I used to walk from Mackie Street to the main street. To the butchers, and come back up Russell Street, and go into Bars the Bakers and get rolls, and walk home to Mackie Street, have my breakfast, and then have to walk back to Russell Street to school.
I think you're making
for
a mistake,
9 o'clock.
Me and Margaret. Bread
I'm not.
Was never rationed.
Bread was rationed, Mary.
I don't think.
Yes, and it was BUs you called them.
As much bread as you
liked. No, you couldn't.
Do you remember going?
And it wasn't
we
used white
to go
bread.
For what we called shinners.
Cinders.
Like cinders for the fire.
It was for the
because
gas
your
works.
Coal ran out. Your coal ran out. You didn't get enough
it was
coal.
What was left
the
after they burned the coal at the gas works.
So you
and my mother and I went.
Ram or a bogey.
Oh, I went too.
Did you
I
go?
So did I.
We all went.
And we went. We all had to take our turn.
And my dad got this big bag at the shipyard, and it was made out of sailcloth. Well, you know how heavy that was. And I remember my mother, and it was a huge big thing. It must have been about 5 feet long and maybe about that wide, 3 feet wide. And because it was a shilling, no matter what size a bag you took. And he made us this thing with old pram wheels, right? And 2 bits of wood along. And away we would go early in the morning so as nobody would see you because you were a wee bit ashamed of going, you know, for these. And you had to go away down to the gasworks, away down at the bottom of Russell Street, near like the main street. That's where the gasworks was. So you went away in the morning and you trailed this thing along and you went to the gasworks and you filled it up with the shinners and you lifted it on to the wheels. And I remember my mother and I were coming up the road and one of the wheels come off. The pin come out the wheel. Well, we were sitting on the side of the road, the two of us in tears. And these two men come along and they said, "What's wrong?" message to my mother, and my mother says, oh, the wheel's off my bogey. And that's, we called it a bogey. And oh, wait, no, see what we can do, he says. So he gets in his pocket and he gets a nail out, and he puts the nail in through and puts the wheel back on and bent the nail up, and up we came up the road, you know. But, I mean, that was the kind of things you had to do then. But my mother could bake, and there was an oven above the fire, and you shut the doors in the fire, and with these shinners, they really gave a really hot, you know, fire. And she could bake in the oven up above. And that's, you couldn't control the heat. You just, she used to make scones and things like that.
Do you
not
remember when we worked for the tick man? The leather shoes?
You
and I. That?
Oh, God, I.
This
I
man,
that.
He went round doors, you know, don't ask me how
he came for me,
Bowl. Don't ask me.
He came for me, Bowl. His name was Mr. Mulveen.
He did, he'll deliver, you know, people bought things in tech, pay up. And he was looking for somebody to deliver shoes, right?
Some mother volunteered us.
Mother said, we would do it for him. You get 2 shillings. Two shillings. 2 shillings each.
Was it?
For delivering shoes. And 1 week I went away
but you
down
had to
the
go,
harbour.
But you had to, where you had to go to pick the
I'd
shoes
go
up?
Away down the harbour.
Did you go to the
away Green Street, all that area. That and then it was away out Glebe Street and away out
Heathfield. Up the High Street.
So we did a swap. 1 week I would go one place and you had to take this bogey thing to collect them.
They came in a big
piles of shoes.
And you had to go to the Newton station and collect this. And it was a big...
Huge bag
full of boxes of shoes. And we had to go and deliver them. Well, you might go to the High Street. You might go to the High Street maybe 3 or 4 times and climb away up the stairs and nobody wouldn't be in. And so you had to bring them back and you had to go back again and keep going back. Sometimes it took you a week to get them all delivered.
But we
you
did
know?
That for 2 shillings.
Aye, we did that.
How old did you be when you were
doing that? Oh, we left to school.
Oh, we'd be about 14, 13.
13, maybe.
You'd be 14, I'd be 13.
No, I was working at 14, so it was before that.
We did that on a Saturday.
Aye, that was a Saturday.
Oh, and then I thought...
But you never kept keeping the money you handed
over.
Oh, no. I gave it to my mother.
Oh, no.
Same with my money, I worked in the dairy.
We come in one day.
I gave it to my mother.
We come in one day, John, and up at where the milling is now, was just all fields. And we said to my mother, Mum, there's tatty howking jobs going on up there. This was during the summer holidays. And some of the soldiers for the race course were helping to lift them, you know, lift the potatoes. There's tatty howking jobs going up there, Mum. Can we go? And she says, no, your dad would have a fit. He's driving the tatty howkers and you're going to wanting to work. How much are they paying? She says, so we said it was...
I think it was 10 shillings.
I think we got... We had a day and a half out of it and I think we get 10 shillings. But, so there we got all dressed up. One of my mother's old aprons on, you know, and up we went. And I think I was the only tatty howker that ever wore gloves. Tatty howking, because I was terrified I'd touch a worm, and among the soil, I was petrified for worms. And I wore a old pair of gloves to lift these tatties. And we come back, and my mother gave us 6 sums each to go to, gave her the money, and she gave us 6 sums
we
to go to pictures.
At the Gorman.
That's right. And you queued up down the back.
Down the back for the cheap seats, and the Billy Hutchison went that night. Remember
and
these
Al Canlish.
Were carrying on. Mm-hmm. And there was a fight, they belted them in.
Aye.
But we got in to see Tarzan for a 6 months.
But of course, you never objected to
it,
you never thought
about it. Oh no, gotten the money in, no.
No, that was it.
It was yours,
that was it. That never was your
and
money.
And then my mother was in the cooperative and you had dividend, you know, and you get.
That you still get, happens.
Well, it's the start again. But you get the dividend, and that was paid out once a quarter. So when it came, the dividend, we used to say, oh, we'd like this, and we'd like that, and we'd like that. No, you always went to the cooperative, and you couldn't go to any other shop. You had to go to the cooperative for your school shoes, you know. And they weren't any fashionable, John. You know, they were just lace and shoes, or a
apron fronted.
And oh, you know, and you felt like an old fuddy duddy, didn't you, Elna? And
You queued up. For your shoes.
Aye.
Mine, I got them for the wedding.
Aye.
I was petrified in case some of the classmates would see me standing.
I went.
I was at the and Margaret's bridesmaid. Right.
My mother made her frock.
She made my hat. It was like, have you heard of Turkish Delight? You know, with the thing in the roll on it. And it had a feather in it. Oh, I did have a feather, Mark. Well, the hat was grey. Now, here, I'm only 18. I went to Cooperative to get shoes. John, they didn't have my size, so I had to take a size bigger.
Stubs on with cotton wool. And they were flat suede things with laces.
Excuse me, they're a wedge heel. But they're a big...
The loop.
There's a big loop here at the by when you can pull them on, and they were suede, but they were too big for me, but I couldn't go anywhere else for shoes. Was I cutie at that wedding, I can tell you.
I've got the photographs.
Don't ever show
I've still
them
got
to
a
anybody.
School photo. I've got a school photo taken.
Don't ever show them to anybody, because I must have looked. I mean,
and my mother made this
six in the shoe and you take them out with sevens, because... Couldn't afford to go anywhere else for a pair of shoes for a wedding.
Oh, hey, but see, the morning I get married, get the kettle on. The morning I get married, I went out for my going away outfit. Now, I hadn't my going away outfit and my hat and my shoes till the morning I get married. And I was getting married in the afternoon.
Aye, them were the days.
Aye, they were the good old days, Mary.
They were not good old days. Don't you kid yourself.
Okay, on that happy note, I think.